Welcome to Firm Foundation. In these times of shifting standards and faulty foundations, there is a solid place on which to build a victorious life. And that place is the Firm Foundation of Jesus Christ and the Word of God. Your host for Firm Foundation is Brian Hudson, a Bible teacher, pastor, author, and producer of Life Enriching Media.
I want to teach today on this topic and go into next week with this phrase, be encouraged. Say, be encouraged. Be encouraged. Say to somebody next to you, be encouraged. And say it back to them, be encouraged. Be encouraged. And the subtopic is how to thrive. Be encouraged, how to thrive. We're going to go into our text first from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. The Apostle Paul wrote, therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. And then Joshua chapter 1, the Lord said through Joshua, have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous, do not be afraid, do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. So the theme here is be encouraged. The Lord said, do not be discouraged. We're going to talk about both, what it means to be encouraged and how to handle discouragement. When I look at the Bible and New Testament in particular, and Apostle Paul's writings, he talks a lot about encourage and encouragement. He speaks, as he did here, to the churches in his letters, encourage one another, build each other up. And he said this because God knows we need it. As much as we love God, and we do, and we read the Bible, and we pray, we still need to have encouragement from God and mostly from one another. And so that's what the theme is, even going back when Israel prepared to go into the Promised Land. And God knew what they were going to face. Their people did not know. You don't know what you're going to face in life. But God knows. And so before the journey started, God told Joshua, tell the people, says, I've commanded you, be strong and courageous. He gave the command. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, because I'm with you wherever you go. Now, it's interesting when I think about those words, even a command that God would give, that why would God say to somebody, don't be discouraged when he knows they're going to be discouraged? Why would God say to me, don't be discouraged, and he know good and well is coming? Well, he wants to prepare us for life and the things that happen in life. Life is full of ups and downs. We all know this. And so what God does is prepare us for it. Let's define the word encourage, first of all. Let's define the word. What is encourage? Well, even the way the word is phrased, encourage, kind of gives you a clue. And so it's about, you know, putting courage into. But the definition says this, to strengthen, to grow strong, to prevail, to make firm, to support, to repair, to hold, contain. These are good definitions. To strengthen oneself, to put forth strength, use one's strength, to withstand, to hold strongly with. These are all Bible Greek definitions of the word encourage, which track pretty much with our modern definitions of the word encourage. So again, God told Joshua, do not be discouraged. And it seems it's a lot to ask, because God knew what they would go through. And we see in the Bible what they did go through. So why would God say, do not be discouraged, knowing that it would come? Because again, God sees our future. And at the moment when the day comes and the moment happens, when you feel discouragement, you can remember God said, do not be discouraged. Then he said, because I am with you. We'll come back to that. That's a very important key. Because you know and I know, we don't have the strength to not be discouraged all by ourselves. So when God, whatever God requires, he provides. Say that. Whatever God requires, he provides. So the journey that Israel was going to embark upon, well, they already had part of the journey behind them, but more was ahead of them, that he knew that the people could never be defeated by outside forces. You know, in Christ today, you will never be defeated by anything outside of you. Because greater is he who is in you, right, than he who is in the world. The only way you'll be defeated if you allow yourself to be defeated. If you allow discouragement, then it will lead to heartache and some level of feeling defeated. And you can still recover from that. My point, though, is outside forces can never bring you down. Never. It's only the inside forces. It's only the lack of that sense of faith and praying and being with God. You know, if we don't spend time with God and all that, it kind of adds up. And so even though God will save us and recover us when it's all said and done, when God said don't, when he said don't be discouraged, because he wants to prepare you for the time when discouragement comes. You know, the time to be healthy is not when you're sick. The time to be healthy is when you feel good and keep doing healthy things. Take care of your body, rest, eat right. You follow me? The time to get well is when you're not sick. So when sickness comes, you can better hold it off. You follow me? So, see, sometimes, you know, it's almost like we handle our automobiles. Some people just drive the car until the car breaks. Car won't start. Tire's flat. I got this noise in my engine. If you don't maintain it, this will happen. And now you're broke down on the side of the road when that could have been avoided. So it's the same principle that we want to understand that when God says don't be discouraged, that's a maintenance command. That's a call to maintenance, not a call to recover from it. When it happens, you still can. But oftentimes, God says things to get you ready for what's coming. So when it comes, you can handle it. Say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Let's define the word discourage. Discourage, defined, means to deprive of courage, right? I mean, discourage. Discourage, okay? To deprive one of courage, to deprive of hope or confidence, to dishearten, to obstruct by opposition or difficulty, to hinder, to express or make clear disapproval of or frown upon. So discouragement comes your way. It comes from circumstances, it comes from people. But do not be discouraged. And that's when you know God is with you. Because if God's not with you, you're not going to make it. I'm not going to make it. Because when circumstances try to take your hope away and dishearten you, when circumstances obstruct and oppose and hinder and make clear the disapproval of you, then if you don't have God with you approving you, and affirming you in the middle, then you're not going to make it. In terms of, you're not going to stop living, but you won't be able to function and be fruitful to God. So thank God. He says, do not be discouraged. So how can you avoid being discouraged? Good question. How can we avoid being or becoming discouraged? Let me say this once again. I didn't say discouragement does not come, or that you won't see it or feel it. I'm saying that discouragement is a package being delivered to you. You don't have to accept it or sign for it. I didn't say it wouldn't come. The package is coming. Discouragement is on the label. It says, it don't even hide itself. Right there, discouragement. And then it gets handed to you. Don't take it. Go back in the house, close the door. Leave it sitting out there. Proverbs says, guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it flow the issues of life. Your emotional health and well-being is not worth discouragement from any source. Because if, again, you can't be defeated by what's coming from without, if you lose faith and confidence and courage within, then you're really in trouble. So ultimately, this will sound a little bit harsh, but ultimately, discouragement is a choice we make. Ultimately, it doesn't start with us, doesn't begin with us, but it requires your agreement. You have to go along with it. And discouragement can be resisted, but it is a powerful feeling affecting how we feel and think, our emotions and our thinking. So, we are emotional creatures. God made us this way. It's a good thing. We want to feel joy. I want to feel grief. I want to grieve with people. It's important. We do all that. But then again, there's also the emotion of discouragement. And that's something you don't have to sign for or receive. Because What did he say? Do not be what? Do not be discouraged. But it comes. And we feel it. We see it. It's right there in front of us. It's very real. But that's why he said, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. If he wasn't with us, we could do nothing about discouragement. Next point here. Watch this. So overcoming discouragement does not come from fighting it. We learn a lot growing up in Christ. One thing we learn is you can't fight sin, you can't fight discouragement, you can't fight things. You do have a good fight of faith. I'm talking about fighting against things that want to come your way. Because overcoming discouragement starts with agreeing with God, who said, be strong and courageous. All right, watch this. Here we go. All right, how do you fight? Let's say you got a bathtub and the faucet's on, you forgot about it, and now it's running over. How do you fight? How do you fight the bathtub running over? Well, you go get yourself a pitcher, and you start getting water out the bathtub, put it in the toilet or the sink, dip out water. So I'm fighting this overflow of water. But what's the real answer? Turn off the water. Deal with the source. See, sometimes you're fighting things, and that's the devil's trick. Get you to fight things and argue and such. Don't deal with that. Go to the source. Cut that off. And the source is many things. The source oftentimes, again, we're accepting these packages. We're accepting things that God said, don't accept it. Do not be discouraged. Anything God requires, if God requires, he does what? What God requires, he provides. So overcoming discouragement starts with agreeing with God. He said, be strong and courageous. I'm always interested in how God says to do things I just cannot do in myself. I'm like, I can't do that. And he said, do it. Well, then there's only one answer, one solution is, well, if he said do it and I can't, he must have the plan on helping me do it. There must be a plan on how he helps me do what I cannot do. That's exactly what we read. We read that in the book of Joshua. He said, be courageous, be strong, Do not be discouraged because I am with you wherever you go. You know, God is not just present at church service. He's not present when you're in your prayer closet. You're lying before God, prostrate praying. You know, God's with you at Starbucks, at work. He's with you wherever you are. He's with you wherever. Say wherever. Say wherever I go. Wherever I go, God is with me. And therefore I can be encouraged wherever I go in any circumstance. Those are bold statements, but not anything we're saying in and of ourselves. That's the whole point. If God said it, he can bring it to pass. Now watch this. So success in any struggle doesn't come from what you can or cannot do. Success in any struggle doesn't come from what you can or can't do. Success in any struggle comes down to who is with you. I'm talking about believers now, followers of Christ. So success comes from who is with you. And I'm talking about God and people. God and the right people, I'll say, you know. People who have expertise, people who have the heart of God. And I think about, we all know we've all had medical procedures. We've had people work on us. Didn't know if they were churchgoers or not, Christians or not, but they were sure good at what they were doing. They were good at what they were doing, you know what I'm saying? And in my book, God sent them, you know what I'm saying? Because the person said, hallelujah, praise God, and his hand is shaking with the scalpel. I'm like, no, I don't know about this. Hallelujah, praise him. You praise him, go somewhere else, you know what I'm saying? So God can work through anybody he chooses to work through. Again, Paul said this, watch this. So again, Paul said in our text, therefore encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. So this church of the Thessalonians, Paul observed, these folk were actually doing this. They do this. This is their practice. They encourage each other. We do it here at New Covenant Church, as in fact you're doing. He says, encourage one another. Build each other up. Now, the thing is, we can help ourselves and do things for ourselves, but we're limited in that. We obviously can take care of our own business and do things, we should, but we're limited in how much we can do. And it's good to know your limits. I even say this, there is a gift of limitation. Limitation is actually a gift. It's a gift to know what you can or can't do. It's a gift to know what you cannot do. You know, I cannot sing. Well, we can all sing. I can't sing well. It's a gift of limitation. So I won't get up here, grab the microphone, and try to sing to you. You'll be spared of that. You'll always be free from that danger. But I will teach the word of God to you. Amen. I will prepare messages and notes and PowerPoints, and I'll do all that. I can do that. And so when you know your gift limitation, you can stop fooling with stuff you're not good at and shouldn't do and focus on what you should do. That's the gift. The gift limitation is you get to do what you're supposed to do and not fool with things you shouldn't be fooling around with. Okay with that? Sounds weird, but it's true. Now, here's some keys to encouragement. Here's some points I want to leave with you today. Keys to encouragement. There's so much that we can do to encourage one another. First key is to fill your heart with hope. Hope is confident expectation. Hope is a picture of the future that looks better than today. I mean, even later on today. Hope is a bright outlook. It's like carrying an umbrella when rain is threatening. You know, if the forecast calls for rain, you're going to carry an umbrella. So when it rains, You won't be in the rain getting wet. Well, hope has that effect. Hope will cover you. Hope will cover you. And that when discouragement comes and fear comes and other things come, because you've built yourself up in faith and hope, hope will shield you from the elements. Number two, encourage others because you reap what you sow. Encourage other people. Send a text. Make a phone call. Speak to people personally. Encourage them. Speak words of life and blessing to people because you're going to reap what you sow. And this key, this word, be encouraged, I got it from my mother, you know. I mean, she'd tell me all the time, be encouraged. She told me that. You all, be encouraged, is what she would say. Be encouraged. And that's really the theme behind what I'm saying here today, because it works. It makes a difference. Number three, never feel attacked. Recognize that there are always more broken hearts than hard hearts. Hurt people hurt people. Don't take it personally. So sometimes somebody says something, you're discouraged behind what they said. Don't feel attacked. Understand there are more broken hearts than hard hearts. When we're brokenhearted, we don't say all the things the right way. Don't take it the wrong way. We shouldn't say the wrong things, but sometimes we do. We're brokenhearted. But you should understand, as an encourager, that there are more broken hearts than hard hearts. Now listen, there are some hard hearts out here. You can't really discern that. Just take the default position. This person has a broken heart. That's why they're doing what they're doing. And leave it at that. It may be something else than that, but for your own welfare, what you want to do is interpret something in a way that God can make the difference. Because if it's a hard heart, you can't change it anyway. But if you pray over people who have broken hearts, God can heal them. If their hearts are hard, God will deal with them. Amen? Either way, you're doing Proverbs where it says, guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Amen? Number four, keys to encouragement. Number four, surround yourself with encouraging voices and sources. You will need this to help discouraged people. Now listen, we aren't in this life just to feel good. We want to feel better and feel good. But when you're in Christ's service, you're called to serve people. You're called to help people. And you don't get to feel good all the time. Because helping people is difficult sometimes. But that's the calling. It's the mission. That's why God tells you, now you go rest. You understand how to enter into rest. Cease from your own labors. Because you have so much to do that's often difficult, sometimes unpleasant, you have to understand you can't live like that all the time. You can't be in a constant mode of ministry. I'm ministering, and this, I'm going to help this person over here and cast out this demon over there and all this kind of stuff. You can't do it always. You're going to wear it down. The point I'm making is what you want to do is stay rested, stay healthy, stay encouraged so you can help people and not be brought down by trying to help people, not be worn down by the effort. You follow me? It amazed me that Jesus, we see on a couple occasions, at least two occasions, that Jesus actually sent people away. I mean, he sent them away. He was ministering to thousands of people, and he sent them away, end of the day. And he went up and rested and got in prayer. Not because he had to. It was an example for us. Another occasion, Jesus was with the disciples. He looked at them and saw they were tired. They were hungry. And the text says they hadn't even had time to eat. So Jesus took his disciples and took them. He said, I'm going to take you aside and we're going to rest. We're going to rest and eat. Jesus did that with his disciples. So understand, the way we can continue to be effective and the way we can continue to encourage others, we're called to help discourage people. Now listen, let me say it different. All of us aren't called that way. Because if you're called to minister to people, that means He helped people in every condition of their life, every condition, even conditions you'd rather not deal with. So you know you're called to minister to people when nobody's condition scares you enough to stay away. Because when you have the heart of Christ and you're called to it, now listen, don't put yourself in a position where you aren't able or called or graced to handle it. Because you can go in to minister to some people, and you come out needing ministry yourself. You know what I'm saying? We got to send intercessors after you now. Get you out of there. No, when God calls you and equips you, you need to go to the people who need help. Whenever, wherever. That's why he says, be encouraged. Be strong. Be courageous. Don't be discouraged. Aren't you glad there are people who helped you when you were discouraged? Yeah. When there was trouble and difficulty and death in your life and family, that somebody was there for you? Many people were there for you. But some people were not there for you. Not because they didn't want to, they just weren't up to it. It wasn't what they could do at the moment. And that's fine too, see? Amen. Know yourself. Don't just rush in someplace without the grace of God on your life to do it. Because you can pray for somebody, you know, right at home, and be just as effective as those of us going in. See, there's a role for everybody. Everybody's place in God is not the same. We all have equal value, equal purpose, but not equal function. That makes sense, y'all? All right. All right, keys to encouragement. Number five, watch this. This will help you too. It helped me a lot. Number five, look at beautiful things, things that speak to you, things that cannot be diminished. And on this, I'll highlight nature. Many of you like to walk. You like to walk and look at trees and flowers and because those are beautiful things. I like nature. But when you look at things that are beautiful, it reminds you God is bigger. He's bigger than me, than my situation. He's bigger than what I'm facing. We look at flowers. The flowers are very small. But the delicacy and the intricacy of the flower reminds you, this is how much God cares about the small things. How much effort, if you will, he puts into small things. And so wherever you look, if you're looking at beautiful things, you're looking at nature, what you're doing is you are reminding yourself that there are things that cannot be diminished. Because let's face it, all of us in life, you know, Paul said, you know, outwardly we're perishing. Inwardly we're being renewed day by day. We had an electrician here yesterday, working on putting some outlets in the foyer, in the children's room. And he was up on a ladder and down the floor. He kept grunting like, you know. I said, man, why are you grunting? I know why you're grunting. He's like 50-something, you know what I'm saying? He's 50-something. He's getting down low and getting up, you know what I'm saying? We know that. We got that grunt. We know that grunt. Some of us, young folk, don't know the grunt yet. They don't know it yet. They'll find out. It's not pain. It's effort. It's willpower, you know what I'm saying? It's we laughed about that. So, yeah, physically we are diminished. Our sight changes. Vision changes. You know what I'm saying? But there are some things that do not diminish. God's creation, the Word of God, the Holy Spirit in you, your walk with Christ, these things do not diminish. So this is a picture I took last week with my camera, regular camera. Well, it's a good camera, not a telescope. My point is, now, that's been that way for thousands, millions of years, that Milky Way, okay? And it's not diminished. I'm reminded that God who made that made me. The God who did that is with me. The God who keeps all that organized keeps me organized. Next picture. Another view of the same thing from, you know, farther, a different perspective with trees in the background, so forth, Milky Way. Of course, when the sky is brighter, you can see it. You don't see it as clearly, but it's, there it is. Encourage yourself. Look at beautiful things. Next slide. Sunset, sunrise. Sunset looks the same, but that's a sunset. And the next one is a bird in flight. Now, this is a pelican. This thought came to me. Again, this is how we can encourage, be encouraged, by looking at things. This is what, how God uses, helps me, at least. You know, this bird on the ground is awkward. He wobbles. He looks unbalanced. It's just not his thing. But once he mounts up, once he starts flying, all the balance and the grace and the purpose appears. And that's a beautiful sight, you know, that bird in flight like that. And it reminded me, see, you know, that's how we look when we are in our element, when we're in our purpose, when we're in prayer and praise, when we're in encouraged in faith. We are in our place. We're not like, you know, we see the geese walking around, you know, in the street, in the yard, everywhere. That, you know, but when they fly, it's different. So be encouraged to let God help you get into your element. Even when you can't always be where you want to be, have a vision of being where you know God wants you to be. Always keep that picture and that hope in your mind. Amen? All right, let me jump ahead here. Number six, almost done here. Number six, keys to encouragement. Remember that courage is not the absence of fear. Courage is doing the right things even when you are afraid. We said this during the pandemic, which, you know, they've said the pandemic is over. Thank God. We're still in the endemic stage. COVID's still real. The point, though, is when we're in the middle of the pandemic, people were afraid of the vaccine. No, they're afraid of the virus first. Then the vaccine came out, three of them. Then they're afraid of the vaccine. My message, as you heard me say often, was you might be afraid, but courage isn't the absence of fear. Courage is doing the right thing even when you're afraid. Get the shot. Get boosted. Still saying it to this day. Not just COVID, but whatever we have access to, don't be afraid. Don't let fear, because fear is a form of discouragement. Encourage is courage, right? Number seven, final point here in this list. The seventh key to encouragement is always know that God is for you. Say, Lord, thank you. You are with me. You are always for me. The Bible says in Romans chapter 8, verse 31, and what Paul said then, what, now this is after all the troubles and afflictions and things that can go wrong. He said, what then shall we say in response to all these things? Listen, you can make your own list of things. You can write down a list of all the things that are troublesome and wrong and all that. Write them all down if you have to. But then say this, what shall we say to all these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Or what can be against us? If God is for us, is God for you? Are you sure? Do you live like it? Well, if God is for you, then don't sign for these packages. Do not be discouraged. Don't sign for stuff. I mean, God's trying to be for you. He said, don't sign the package. He said, don't sign for that. Don't accept. Don't receive that. But what would they say? We don't care what they say. Not now. Your own emotional, mental, and spiritual health is at risk. Your welfare is at stake. Not time to consider what everybody thinking, saying. What, it ain't time for that. It's time to do what you need to do to continue walking with God to help others. Amen? All right. Let me say, well, a couple more points. Let me go on now. I got a couple more things to share. That's important. Okay, what can we do for others? What can we do for others? Hebrews 10, Let's read together. If you can see it on the screen, if you can see that, let's read together. If not too small to read. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Yeah, that's the fellowship of believers in Christ, you know, in church, in even online, you know, coming together, but for the purpose of doing what? Encouraging one another. And then we look at this point, exhort others. So what can you do? Well, you can assemble together, be together with other believers. Second is we can exhort. Exhortation is the act of encouraging. The words are very similar. Exhortation is the act of encouraging. Exhort means to call to one's side, to address, to speak to console or strengthen by consolation, to instruct, to teach. These are all the meanings of exhort. We can do this for one another. We can speak direct to one another and to console and strengthen them by our words. You know, we had the dedication last week, wonderful day, wonderful time, and we had a chance to speak words of life, you know, over Jonathan and his wife and their daughter, and we were exhorting, see? And it's amazing how words of life bring life. Words of life strengthen, words of life help. In fact, I spoke to my dad the day before. There's a picture of me somewhere at Friendship Baptist Church, my mom and dad, and they're holding me, and I'm being dedicated at Friendship Baptist Church back in 57, I believe. But so there's a black and white picture somewhere of me being dedicated to the Lord that day. And today I'm serving and dedicating others, you know what I'm saying? So dedication is a form of encouragement. It's a form of imparting the grace of God. Now, there are some people that God has called and assigned to cause others to inherit blessing and purpose. Joshua was one of those people. Now look at this scripture here. In fact, I think I skipped ahead. Here it is. Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 37. Now, Moses said this, the Lord was angry with me for your sakes. Now remember, Moses got a little worn. He got worn down. And God said to Moses to speak to the rock. And he, you know, he got upset with people and he struck the rock. You know, he got mad. And God said, so no, you're not going over, you know. It wasn't God's plan anyway, but Moses verified that. But so Moses said, the Lord was angry with me. It says, even you shall not go in there, promised land. Joshua, the son of Nun, who stands before you, he shall go in there. Watch this. I love this. Encourage him, for he shall cause Israel to inherit it. The point is, all of us are a blessing to somebody. But some among you have a call and mission and purpose to cause others to inherit blessing or learning. I think about educating my wife and Jonathan and Dr. Kelly, different ones, ministers among us, Ophelia. You know, there are, all of us do it in some way, but some of us do it in different ways where you actually are responsible to cause other people to get something they need. It wouldn't happen without you and God. It wouldn't happen that way. And so it's a great thing. So then what Moses said was, I'm not going in to the promised land, but you're going to go, Joshua. And the command was, encourage Joshua. Because he's going to cause the people to inherit it. You know, in ministry and pastoring and our media camps in the past, I was always very aware that these are children that are 16 or 13, 14, whatever, who 5 years from now, 10 years from now, are going to be doing something with their lives. And I believe and want to believe, and I know that what we did was a part of them inheriting something good in their lives and careers. Now, educators do it every day, you know what I'm saying? So I love this thought that we can encourage all people But sometimes you run up on people, young people, adults that you know, yeah, this one here, if we encourage this one here in a certain way, they're going to do a whole lot more with what they got. Again, everybody has the same value, follow me? But you know ability and talent when you see it, don't you? When somebody shows you some motivation and they're willing to step up and, everybody's walking back and they're stepping up. I'm like, okay, I see. Here's the final quote. Maya Angelou said this. She said, I do my best because I'm counting on you counting on me. Let that sink in. It's very powerful. I do my best because I'm counting on you counting on me. People need you. Now listen, don't get it twisted. You don't need to be needed. That's codependence. But what you do is needed. And so I'm counting on, people are counting on me to do what I do, so I'm counting on them to count on me. And what it does, it just raises the level of expectation. It raises the level of purpose. Make me want to get up in the morning. Make me want to be encouraged, stay encouraged. Amen. Would you believe that there have been Sundays I did not want to go preach? Even after announcing the message and sending the email out, the whole world knows, and I don't want to go. I want to stay in bed, you know what I'm saying? I don't want to go to work today. Yeah, but it's never happened. Like, you feel the same way. On Monday morning, you're complaining, fussing. You get out the bed, in the shower, fussing. Picking out something to wear, complaining. Don't want to do it, grabbing the keys. Start the car up. And all the way there. You don't want, but you do it. Because I do my best. Because I'm counting on you, counting on me. Amen? So finally, be encouraged. Say, be encouraged.
Be encouraged.
Tell somebody next to you, be encouraged.
Be encouraged.
Say it back to them, please. Be encouraged. Amen. Father, thank you. Thank you, Lord, for your word today. Thank you, Lord, for speaking to our hearts today and encouraging us in the word today. Lord, there's so much more here that we can explore, Lord, as we get into your word and worship you and pray and just draw life from scripture.